Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and again, we will be talking about the Kingdom of God. What is the Kingdom of God? The Kingdom of God is a government. It's just not like the governments of the world. It is a form of government, and you can be a part of that government. You can contribute to that government. You can receive the rewards of that government and still be in the world, simply not of the world, because you should not be eating of both. And this is part of the heresies that have been brought in by men who claim to believe in Christ but do not know the full gospel. And this is a really hard sell, so we have to have lots of evidence, and that's what we write about. And we have many in-depth recordings and studies, and we have preachers traveling around the country trying to show other people how the early church operated. Because the early church said, you know, there is another king, one Jesus. They did contrary to the decrees of Caesar. They didn't break the law because they were a part of another government when it came to social welfare. Their social welfare was entirely through the system of faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. They paid the other duties and imposts, but they did not apply for the welfare of men who exercised authority. They did not covet their neighbor's goods. They did what Christ said. Others, what should have been for their welfare, became a snare, and they were snared by it and brought into bondage by it, and were more subject than ever, like they were back in the days of Egypt. Early historians, renowned historians in early America, such as Edward Gibbons, writes and talks about the union and discipline of the Christian Republic and how it gradually formed an independent and increasing state in the heart of the Roman Empire. The church was separate from the state. It was another form of government. Even if you go back into the Old Testament, the Levites were separate from the people. The Levites were a separate body. They were the body of God. They were the corpus of God in order to do His work. But they had to do it all by faith, hope, and charity. This is why Moses said, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." Christ came saying the same thing. But when Christ was crucified, not so much by Pontius Pilate, because Pontius Pilate believed that he was the rightful king, but Pontius Pilate washed his hands of the judgment and said, "You decide. You men of Judea, you decide," specifically the Sanhedrin and the common court there, that they decided that Jesus should be crucified. Pontius Pilate decided that this is the rightful king of the Jews, which is why the Romans were there. And he nailed a proclamation to the cross. And that blotted out the handwritten ordinances of the Pharisees, who said, "We have no king but Caesar." They still had to abide by the Caesar's ordinances and edicts. But Christians weren't under Caesar, they were under Christ. This meant they had to start taking care of the daily ministration. No free bread and circuses for them from Rome. They had to take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity in that perfect law of liberty. And the way they did it was the distribution of free bread for the needy. And they called that gifting thanksgiving. We see the word in the Greek, Eucharist. That's what the Eucharist of Christ is. The Eucharist of Christ is the thanksgiving of Christ. We're thankful for the opportunity of giving. This was an important part of the church government, to take care of the needy of the people. What was going on in Rome at that time? They had a welfare system, a vast system of welfare in Rome and in Judea. Herod had set it up in Judea. It was operated not only through the temple of Judea by the Pharisees, through a system of Corban, where you you contributed and those funds were used to take care of the needy. But they also did it in the Temple of Roma, also built by Herod, and in many other temples like the Temple of Saturn. In order to be a part of such welfare systems, you had to register. And you even had to register at birth in case your parents were to suddenly die. And that's why they had birth certificates registered in the government buildings called the Temple of Saturn. That was a government building. That's where you kept your birth certificate to prove that you were a part of this welfare system. But Paul tells us what should have been for their welfare became a snare and made them merchandise because their system was based on forced offerings and corruption was seeding into their government through these offices of power. Just like Saul, who was a great guy, was made corrupt when people gave him too much power, so was Caesar made corrupt when they gave him too much power. Always does. Power corrupts. Stop giving that power to others. That doesn't mean that you don't have a responsibility. Rights are correlative to responsibilities. You have to take care of one another. Nero took some of the silver out of the Roman silver coin. Other emperors took the rest out. They had runaway inflation. They had economic collapse. Endless foreign wars trying to maintain this power structure. What were the Christians doing? They were taking care of one another. We have documentation from the early church meetings back there in 150 AD. You can read Justin the Martyr, an early church writer, talks about it. What they did every week when they gathered on the first day of the week, they had had their Sabbath on Saturday. But now there was the business of the kingdom of God, the business of the church, the body of Christ. And they gathered with the people, and people said what they were going to need and how difficult it was, and these were their prayers, praying to God, not to men who exercise authority, but to God, and saying, we need help. And what happens? And I quote, "And the wealthy among us help the needy and willingly give what each thinks fit. What is collected is deposited with the president of that congregation, that gathering, who succors the orphans and widows," that's the needy, whose families have broken down so much that their family cannot take care of them. Their sons are not there to honor their father and their mother and take care of them. They need help. I mean, there were plagues and wars and all sorts of things. Persecutions caused orphans. And so they succored the orphans and widows and those who, through sickness or any other cause, are in want, and those who are in bonds, and the strangers sojourning amongst us, and in a word, take care of all who are in need. With what? The contributions of the people. This was during a time where Rome was giving away their free bread and circuses and placating the people with millions upon millions of dollars. We talk about it in the books how much grain was given away on a daily basis. What came into the Trajan harbor and was turned into bread and given away to the people. Oils and even money was given away to the people through a welfare system of Rome. But that system was based on forced contributions. The system of Christ is based on love. These two systems create two completely different kinds of society. One weakens the poor, as we see in Sodom and Gomorrah. In a time of affluence, they did not strengthen the poor because they used a social welfare system that made the poor poorer in spirit. Look at Detroit. Look at wherever you see this free giveaway welfare system. There is no natural governor built into the system that encourages the morality and industry of the people. We need to repent. We need to go back to the ways of Christ and do that which Christ told us to do. Now, sure, we have some charity in our churches, some people helping out other people. But what does it say in 1 Corinthians 10:21? Ye cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Devils being the adversaries of God. Those who seek benefits at the expense of their neighbor are doing contrary to the decrees of Christ. Ye cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of devils. That's why Paul says, just quoting David, who is really just quoting Proverbs, what should have been for your welfare, that table has become a snare and a trap. If you sit and eat with rulers who exercise authority one over the other, and ye be a man of appetite, wanting more and more benefits, put a knife to your throat. The church is where you should go for those benefits. But you have to have a changing of your mind, which is what repentance is. You have to realize, unless I do this in the ways of Christ, I will do it not at all. You need to come together on the record. The union and discipline of the church was a discipline of the individual who was seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness daily by mutual sacrifice to men of service, not men of authority. And this was the foundation of Christ's gospel. But we've gone away from that. We've been snared by our own covetousness. We've been entangled again in the yoke of bondage. We must turn around and seek the ways of God in the name of Christ, in the way of Christ, in the character of Christ. So I say to you, repent and seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't play church. Don't imagine that you believe in Christ and do contrary to His decrees. Your actions are evidence of your faith. You will still be saved by grace, but your actions, your deeds, your works tell you, as well as us, where your heart really is at. So, I call you to repentance. Gather together in the name of Christ. Take care of one another. And until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you. God bless. For more information, contact us at hisholychurch.org or email us at radio@hisholychurch.org or write us at His Church, Box 10, Summerlake, Oregon, 97640.